This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And this is a segment where we definitely emphasize that word, community. And we're taking a look at an aspect of our community that comes up each year this time of year as it starts to get cold outside. I think there's not many people that don't desire warmth. We don't desire that run into the house in front of a warm fire and sit down and bundle up in a blanket and really enjoy the fact that we have a roof over our heads and a place to call our own and a someplace safe to spend the night. And for many people in our community, that just isn't part of their reality. They don't have a home. And this time of year, when things start to get very cold, they don't have a place that they can call their own that's safe, that's warm, that's quite frankly not out in the harsh elements presenting a real hazard to their livelihood, to their lives in general. So we're going to talk this week with Sarah Rigg, and she's brought a guest, about some of the resources available to those in our community that are homeless this holiday season and throughout this winter when it starts to get really cold out there, and what those people do and how they survive through the holiday. And we'll give you some information as well about what you can do to assist in these efforts that are ongoing year-round, but again, special attention paid during the time of year where it is definitely dangerous to be outside on your own. So Sarah Rigg, welcome.
Well, hello.
Hi, and this is, again, we're our partnership with Concentrate Media. We are proud to be the media partner in this effort of On the Ground Ipsy, and Sarah is an embedded reporter inside of Ypsilanti. And what are you talking about this week?
Well, I just wanted to clarify that this isn't just clothing drives for the homeless, okay, although they are, of course, part of the people that come to take advantage of these programs. But a lot of them are aimed at kids and at school children. And one of the more heartbreaking stories I heard was from Kathy Wyatt at the sheriff's office, because they do a warm clothing collection drive. And they decided to add boots a couple of years ago because she heard this heartbreaking story of a little boy who loved school and didn't come to school for 2 days in a row, and come to find out that his shoes had fallen apart. He didn't own any boots. And it was a choice between paying the rent and buying boots.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you reminded me of that, and many of us. I don't think our minds go there first. It should. We have a box on the second floor here of King Hall. The kids from the ECA are collecting clothing donations, specifically warm winter clothing donations, for exactly what you're discussing. So thanks for the clarification there. And you're right. There are a lot of people. They don't have money for a jacket, for gloves, for boots, for winter clothing. You know, you might be shocked. You see kids getting on and off of a bus in T-shirts and jeans and tennis shoes in the middle of winter with six inches. I'm going. We were talking about the UP, so now it's stuck in my head. 6 feet of snow. But 6 inches of snow is bad enough when you got to walk through all that slush and ice. So resources in that realm, too, that for kids and adults that just don't have the means to dress appropriately because they don't have the money to buy the clothes during the cold weather season. So you talked to several people I know. Who's our guest today? And let's focus there for a moment.
Sure. So one of the organizations that does a warm clothing closet all year round, not just around the holidays, is Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Okay. And I brought their clothes closet coordinator, Linda King.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
So Emmanuel Lutheran has a clothes closet, which I'm assuming anybody can donate to and anybody can partake in year round. And today we're going to be talking a little more about why this is necessary this time of year. But give me a little background, Linda, on you and your involvement there and why the clothes closet exists at Emmanuel Lutheran.
Well, the clothes closet started out very small, actually. It started out in one of the members' homes in her basement. This was about 40 years ago, and it's grown. And so now a small portion of our church is dedicated to a sorting room where we take in clothes and go through them, make sure they're clean, make sure the zippers work on the winter coats, etc. And then we open every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 year-round. And each family is given one bag. There's no, the only requirement is that you sign your first name and you tell us how many people are in your household. And you are free to fill up that bag with anything your family needs. And you can come weekly. There's no restrictions on how often you can come to the clothes closet.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been working at the clothes closet, I should say volunteering, for about 4 years, and I've been the coordinator, I think, around 1.5 years or so.
And remind us again, where is Emmanuel Lutheran?
201 North River Street, Ypsilanti, between the Dairy Queen and the Sidetrack.
And what was the need that you saw as a church community? I mean, did you look around and see people within your church that were in need, or was this just something that you wanted to do as outreach to the larger community?
Well, I don't know. Certainly that must have been the philosophy when it began, and it was up and running when I joined. However, I personally feel that there is a need for clothing because there appears to be several food banks, meal options within Ypsilanti, but I do not see that many clothing, free clothing opportunities.
And there are certainly thrift stores and things like that, but even there, you know, there's a cost involved.
Correct.
And a lot of them do their best to try and limit the prices on them, but when you have no money, and as we were talking about, you know, when you're having to make a choice between eating or paying the rent and putting boots on somebody's feet, you know, those are hard decisions to have to make. So you're trying to be a middleman here in a way, and so you don't have to make that choice. Come to us and we'll help you out. Can you give me a couple examples? You know, I'm assuming that you've had some stories, you've encountered some people that, you know, really might have touched your heart in a special way. You know, do you see that the people participating in this from your end are getting, you know, something out of this? Is this really making you feel like, as a church community, you're helping the broader community?
Yes, absolutely. We get to know our regular Ypsilanti friends. We get to know a few needs, personal needs. There's one gentleman, a very tall gentleman. He comes in and he needs exercise clothing and exercise shoes. So if we get, occasionally we do, these larger sizes, we set them aside and show them to him when he comes in. And he now, when he walks in the door, he gives me and some of the other workers a great big hug. And it's just very, very pleasant. We have fun with them, too.
Yeah, I wear size 14, so I have a hard time just finding them in stores. I couldn't imagine, you know, if I didn't have the means to go buy them. Most places he would probably have to choose to wear something much too small.
Yes.
In order to have something on his feet. You personally, I mean, what's your takeaway from this? Do you feel like this is part of your mission in the community?
Yes, I do. Well, I'm a Christian, and I believe serving others is my call. I volunteer at other places as well, and I do. It makes me feel really good when I can help someone, and they leave with a smile and a wave that says, they'll say, thanks, see you next week.
And it sounds like the way you're doing this, too, there's no judgment attached to it. There's no impetus for you have to prove or you have to spend a certain amount of time here with us. Mm-mm. Or anything like that. I mean, you're doing it in a way which is just free of strings of any kind. I'm certain that it might have grown your base for people coming to you because the people in these situations don't want to be judged.
It has grown our base, but, you know, we really want to continue to grow. And one of my personal goals would be outreach to the Eastern Michigan students. They, too, need warm clothes. Do they know that we're so close they could walk over to us and get a coat?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. We hear a lot about food issues, and especially related to Soup's Pantry, which is a resource for students here on campus. But I guarantee you they have similar issues. There's a lot of students on this campus that are surviving on a very, very small amount of money. And again, they're going to have to choose between paying for tuition or paying off a loan, or paying for food and buying clothes for the winter. Especially students that come here from an area that wasn't as cold. I think our weather sometimes catches students by surprise. So that's a great idea. Is that something the church is talking about, that you want to start advocating for kids to come on, kids, students who are fully adults coming off campus over to y'all?
We've always felt like we wanted to continue to grow it. Okay. And we really don't know how to do that. We have little handouts. We do hand them out, obviously. We have stacks of little handouts at Hope Clinic. People are free to take that and then contact us. But it's not growing, I don't think, to the speed, to the optimum that I would like it to grow.
Well, we are certainly.
And you're so close.
Yeah, we can set you up with some contact of folks over at Soup's Food Pantry and our Engage office as well that works with students with needs of all different backgrounds, both doing a lot of work exactly where you're lined up, which is resources in the community that want to make the lives of our students on our campus better each and every day. Mm-hmm. So certainly getting you two together will be a great joy, and I'm happy to do that. Thank you so much. If somebody wants to just donate or come by and say, hey, you know, do you take cash? Do you take clothes? I mean, what's are there any limits to what somebody can just hand over to you and say, here, whatever you need to do with this, hope it does some good in the community?
The only limits, I would say, would be electronic devices and electric devices. For instance, a toaster. I am somewhat leery on accepting a toaster. Should that, when the client takes it home and plugs it in, you know, we just don't want to be responsible if it isn't working properly. But clothing, household goods, linens, shoes, boots, at this time, scarves, gloves, all that. Warm blankets. We always need warm blankets.
And is there a time of the week or anything like that people can stop by?
Yes.
Okay.
The same hours for distributing are for receiving. So that would be from 9 to 10:30 each Wednesday. And if I might add, we have a medical loan closet too. So again, distributing, taking in, we at no charge, again, walkers, bedside commodes, not wheelchairs. We don't have the space for that, unfortunately. Transfer benches, anyway, most everything like that, we would be happy to accept clean equipment, and it goes out as fast as it comes in. It's amazing.
And so if any of this is striking your fancy, you're thinking in your head, hey, I've got some stuff around the house or some things I don't need, or, you know, it's that time of the season, I'm going to go Christmas shopping, I might buy something for the family and buy something to give away as well. If any of that, again, is striking a chord with you and the work being done at L'Emmanuel Lutheran is something that sounds attractive to you, just stop on by there in those hours. We'll have them posted as well. I'm sure, Sarah, you probably have them in your story.
That's
too.
Right.
Linda, thanks so much for coming by today and sharing today how your church and you personally are doing this work in our community to try and lift us all up. And again, the attention being paid this time of year because of the cold weather is really important.
If I might add, we have each Tuesday between 5 and 6, we have a hot meal. Anyone is welcome. Nothing, no questions asked whatsoever. And Wednesdays and Thursdays in the afternoon, again, it's on our website, we provide free food.
Give me the website one more time.
Is I just put in EmmanuelIPSI.org.
Okay, that's easy to remember. Thank you so much, Linda. Sarah, who else did you talk to this week, and what other resources are featured in your story?
So Washtenaw Sheriff's Office has a program called Grizzly Warm Clothes, and you can drop off at their Hogback office, and they actually do their program in conjunction with United Way Washtenaw. And the nice thing about them is they are not just doing it before the holidays, they're continuing all the way through early January until kids are back in school for the first week, in part because they want to make sure that kids have the opportunity after the Christmas break to get them, but also they figure that people will be getting things at Christmas or seeing sales at Christmas or passing on old clothes when they get new ones. So they're open for donations all the way through the second week of January. And additionally, Brown Chapel AME in Ypsilanti, I wasn't able to talk to them directly, but it's my understanding that they have a program. You can walk in on Friday mornings to get clothes or to drop clothes off. And then also the Ypsilanti Community Schools has a clothes closet that's run out of Chapel Elementary, and that's open from 11 to 1 Monday and Wednesday and 9 to noon on Fridays. And the contact information about that is also in the article.
So we will link over to your article, your great work there, and we look forward to sharing that information. Thanks so much for doing this story. I know it's something that's on a lot of people's minds this time of year, is how do we help the people in our community that need help, especially this time of year. So great resources there. Thanks for doing the story. You can find it at WEMU.org, concentratemedia.com. This is part of On the Ground Ypsi on 89.1 WEMU. Sarah, I know that you and I were chatting a little bit about the story for next week. It's in the air a little bit, but give us a general idea of what the focus might be.
Well, I have two ideas that I'm juggling, and it's just going to see how it comes out. But I think that I will be doing a feature very soon about Back Office Studio, the new co-working space in Ypsilanti. They're just getting ready to open. And then the other story that I'm going to be talking about soon is actually hosted by Concentrate Media and On the Ground. It's an Ypsilanti Storytelling Night on December 5th at Riverside Arts Center's Off Center location, which is just down the street from their main building. And it's a night where 7 or 8 people are going to talk about why they, you know, what they love about Ypsilanti and stories, all Ipsy-centric stories.
And if you've ever seen or heard The Moth, or if you're a fan of even StoryCorps that's heard frequently on NPR, it's that kind of evening. People in their own words sharing something that happened to them or their pride in the community or just a personal story that really rings true for those that live in and around the Ypsilanti community. So thanks for bringing that all for us. We will see you next week, and you could find all of this at WEMU.org. That's part of On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.